Let's just open a word of prayer first. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We know, Father, that we will never be able to repay what you have done for us. And if you have asked us in this present life to give our very selves, our very bodies as a living sacrifice to you, we just ask God that you would help us to do that. Father, we still, as we have breath, we still have the ability to do great things for God. And we just ask that you would allow us to do that as we give ourselves more and more to you. Let us examine ourselves, Father, very closely to see if there be anything in us that would hinder the ability of you to work through us. So Father, as we bring a few short time together, bring a few words that I believe you would have me share here tonight, we just pray, God, that it would touch each of us. You know every heart here tonight, Father. You know where people are at. And we just pray, God, that you would touch us by your Holy Spirit according to our need. Of course, Lord, the greatest need we realize is for salvation. And we pray, God, if there be anybody here tonight who has not yet given their hearts to you, who is struggling with that, Father, that you would give them that desire, that deep down desire to make a closure of that thing that you require of us. The greatest need in this life we have is to know you. And we just thank you, Father, that we can do that, that it is so simple and straightforward. The greatest mind in the world or the simplest person in the world can do that, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is contained in it. So, God, we just pray that you would be active among us tonight, the few of us gathered here together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about trials and tribulations and loss and rejection and a few things like that. We're going to look at Jonah, mainly Jonah chapter 2. It's like an onion. How many here have peeled onions? Put your hands up. I want to see. Most everybody. Bob, you haven't? Oh, you have. Okay. All right. Now, you've peeled one once. Did you cry, Lloyd? Well, hopefully as we peel this onion back, there'll be no crying, but there'll be rejoicing as we apply these things to our hearts. The first layer that we're going to look at is the outside layer, the events as they are actually recorded in Scripture. And the second layer we're going to look at is the events as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third layer, we're going to look at the events as they apply to us. You know, it's great to have knowledge of Scripture, and I realize there's men and women here have far greater knowledge than I do about Scripture, and that is a terrific thing, and I appreciate the knowledge that those people have. The one thing that is important is that you can have all the knowledge in the world, and yet you still wouldn't be saved. Or you can have all the knowledge in the world and not be able to apply it to your life, and you wouldn't be able to gain any benefit from it. Or you could have all the knowledge and have it misapplied. Or you could have all the knowledge, but it'd be the wrong type of knowledge. Years ago, when we ran the Lombard Glen Golf Club over towards Lombardy, there was an ex-Air Force pilot there. He was retired, and he would go out pretty much every day, and he'd be practicing his golfing and his swing. And he didn't seem to be getting any better, but he just loved practicing it. And the golf pro approached him one day. He says, "I don't want to offend you, but," he says, "you're practicing all wrong. You're doing it all wrong." And I don't know whether he accepted the improved instruction that the golf pro gave him, but if he did, he would have been a better golfer. And it's the same with Scripture. if we apply it correctly to our lives and move on from there, then we will be better people able to serve God and glorify His name. So first of all, we're going to look at the events as recorded, the outside layer of the onion. And I'm going to ask if Berwick would come and just read that scripture, Jonah chapter 2.
Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
Thank you, Berwick. Very moving passage, isn't it? Explains what Jonah went through. Horrible, actually. Really horrible experience. Scientists have said that in a large fish, it's not a whale necessarily. We don't know that. A whale is not a fish, actually. But there were evidence of some very large fish at the time. But scientists say that probably there wouldn't be enough oxygen in the stomach of one of those whales to last more than a couple of hours. And so the question is, that tends to come up, is did Jonah die? And there's some controversy with some commentators over that, whether Jonah actually died or not. And they cite verse 2 of Jonah, which says, And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered, and I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, which indicates death, where he would be. Now, is that just a description of what it might have been like, or was that actually the fact that he actually did die? And then verse 5 and 6 says, water encompassed me to the point of death. It doesn't say it actually died, but to the point of death, so perhaps he did. Engulfed me, weeds were wrapped around my head. And verse 6 says, I descended to the roots of the mountains, and the earth was its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought me up from my life from the pit. So it sounds like there's a possibility of that, and I don't think it's a point that's worthy of argument, except when we cover the next layer of the onion, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it's horrible. Disobedience to God has brought him to this point. Just horrible. And we can't imagine what the fear and anxiety that Jonah experienced. And I think this passage somewhat talks about that. The waves and billows coming over him, the weeds wrapped around his head. And he's down there and it's dark, the blackness of darkness forever. There's no light down there. And here he is, and probably being partially digested by gastric juices. Horrible. The consequences of disobedience to God are horrendous. Now, fortunately, in God's mercy and grace, we don't all experience that. But for Jonah, it was such a serious thing for him. But there was another purpose for Jonah going through all of that, which we'll get into. And that's the second layer of the onion. When we talk about the question as to whether Jonah died or not, if he died, or at least Jonah might have gone through a type of death, that is a type of the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the second layer as a type of the Lord Jesus, if we look at it very closely. Let's look at Matthew 12, 39 to 40. Now, the people are looking for a sign. And Jesus is saying it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. Because the outward appearance is not always evidence for some people that actually what a truth is. But, I think in Scripture of something like Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And the comment is, by now he stinks. So we know there's death there. And yet Jesus is able to command Lazarus to rise from the dead. And what is the reaction? Well, of course, some people were joyous. But other people, what did they do? They saw this miracle and they went off and told the Pharisees. Now, what kind of a person would do that? If you saw a miracle and you would have such great doubt, lack of faith in your heart, that you go off and tell so that they might be able to destroy Jesus. Their hearts were so cold and their minds so blinded. I find that amazing. And so here, Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given it to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we see Jonah's experience is certainly a type of Christ. So here is Jonah. He's totally rejected by God. He's tossed aside by God at this point. And my question is, have you ever known rejection? I mean, have you been rejected? Perhaps you've never known that feeling. And if that's true for you, you're very fortunate. How many as a young person had a girlfriend or a boyfriend and the relationship ended and you felt rejected, sorrowful? How many have had parents that rejected you? How many have had relatives that have rejected you? How many have lost loved ones? And that's a type of rejection. Rejection is one of the most powerful things in the human experience that causes untold grief. It causes alcohol abuse. It causes bad relationships. It causes drug use and addiction. There are all sorts of things. And over the 25 years that I had had foster kids, one of the major problems, and I've shared this before probably, is that of rejection. And I've taken courses on with the Children's Aid Society, and the thing they put at the top of the list is rejection. Can you imagine? Can you even empathize with what rejection is? Have you or have I hurt someone that's been close to us and that's given a sense of rejection? So here's Jonah. Here he is, totally rejected at this point by God. What hope is there for him? And he says, the waves and billows washed over me and the weeds are about my head. There is no hope. But I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving, he says. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. For people that have suffered rejection, the only hope for any of us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there is nothing. It is complete emptiness and despair at some point in your life. You see some people going along just great in life. And you know, sometimes you think it would almost be better if things weren't so rosy for them. Because if they experience perhaps some despair and rejection, they might come running to Jesus. I have some sort of a list of some of these. Jonah as a type. Jonah spent 3 days inside the belly of the great fish because of his own sinfulness and rebellion. Jesus spent 3 days inside the belly of the earth because of our sin and rebellion. Both sensed and experienced rejection. Jonah ran from the difficult calling God gave him. We see that in Jonah 1:3. Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father's will, coming to earth and dying on the cross, leaving glory, leaving that so close union with his Father that he still experienced on earth until those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, when God poured out all the sin, your sin, my sin. Can you think of how horrible some of the sin is? Think of the Holocaust. Think of the murders that are going on, the persecution of Christians, the child abuse, the abuse of wives and husbands. All that sin being poured out on Jesus. How horrible. Jesus experienced a far more horrible rejection than Jonah did. Jonah was asleep on the ship during a storm caused by his own disobedience. That's Jonah 1:4-12. Jesus slept on a boat during a storm and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Read that in Mark 4:35-41. Jonah caused a storm. Jesus had authority over the storm. Jonah feared the Creator who had authority on earth. That's Jonah 1:9. Jesus is the Creator with all authority over heaven and earth. We read that in John 1 and 3 and Matthew 28, 18. In the fish, Jonah knew that salvation belongs to the Lord. I just read that, Jonah 2 and 9. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. Jesus is the way of salvation, Hebrews 5, 9 and Acts 4, 12. Jonah became angry with God for showing grace toward repentant sinners, Jonah 4, 2. And Jesus modeled God's grace toward repentant sinners, Romans 3, 24. I think the woman who was found in adultery, and they were about to stone her, and Jesus came along. He who was without sin cast the first stone. You talk about mercy. And then grace, go and sin no more. How often that we tend to be harsh towards others, and perhaps it's because we lack understanding and compassion and empathy and the mercy that Jesus has. Are we willing to go the extra mile for whoever it is that is in need, even though how maybe unsociable they are or unacceptable they are to our flesh? Are we willing to show that mercy and grace that Jesus showed? Are we willing to forgive 70 times 7 again and again? How important that is. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Jonah was angry enough because of God's grace towards his enemies, Jonah 4, 3. And Jesus was compassionate enough to die because of his love for his enemies and his obedience to his Father. That's Romans 5, 10. Chiefly, Jonah typifies Christ as the sent one, raised from the dead and carrying salvation to the Gentiles. Do you ever think about it that we are not the chosen race? That God in his mercy has gone to us. We're the branches that are grafted in to the main vine. What right do we really have to be there? It's only by God's mercy and grace that he has allowed us as Gentiles to be in that position. Let us not take that lightly. The third layer of our onion is the events as they apply to us. The thing is that we can learn a lesson from Jonah here. And the fact that he was disobedient. And we have to know how to deal with situations when we are disobedient. And I'm going to cover that in just a second. The thing is that we do have to realize that in this life, while we still have breath, if we reject Jesus, we will be rejected by him and put aside after death, where there is blackness of darkness forever. Terrible. We don't speak of hell. We don't preach on hell. We speak about the love of God. And that's certainly one side, but we have to project the other side too. The consequence of rejecting that love is an eternity in hell. Would we ever wish that upon anybody? It is the love of God that compels us to go and share the gospel with others. But it's that fear and trembling that we have for other people's souls that would want them to bring them into the fold. So Jesus was rejected by his Father, whom he loved, and he lived in total obedience, and he did this in obedience to his Father for you and I. Now, I have a bit of a theory, and you could certainly argue with me about this afterwards. That'd be fine. There's sort of three stages that I believe Jonah might have gone through. And certainly that we can go through from week to week, year to year, day to day. The first step was God commanded Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh. Now, it moves very rapidly from that point because Jonah picked up and he left. But what was going on in Jonah's heart and mind during that period? And I believe that this was a test from God. And God was saying, do this, Jonah. This is a test for you. Why did God pick Jonah? There is certain evidence as we read the second chapter that he knew some of the Psalms. He knew the scriptures. And so it was quite possible that Jonah was a godly man. But he was about to fail this test. So the test was coming from God, and it was a result of the fact that he followed God. Non-Christians, unbelievers, are not tested by God. They may go through hard times to have them run to Jesus, but basically they don't find themselves in tests. We do. Has God tested you recently? I'll tell you, he's tested me. I'm not going to go into the details, but this is pretty challenging. So as we follow God, we're going to be tested. How do you discern the fact that it's a test? Well, it proves faith. If your faith is solid and a test comes upon you, you know that, okay, this is from God, I got to have the right response here. And what's the right response? To persevere. Persevere through this test. Do not shrink back. God is saying in all of this that his name is in us, or else he wouldn't test us. And what does it end with? Well, with Jonah, it ended in death and glory. God was glorified through this. The Ninevites repented. Jonah faced death in the belly of the fish. And then perhaps the next step. So Jonah is going through this. I imagine he must have been hanging around for a day or two saying, oh boy, I'm not going to go to those Ninevites. You know, I'm a Hebrew. And they're Gentiles, and whatever went through his mind, we're just speculating. But the next stage might have been temptation. Temptation comes from the devil. Why would Jonah reject God's command? So temptation comes from the devil, and as a result of pride or exposure, why did Jonah not want to go? Was he proud, too proud as a Hebrew, not wanting to speak to the Gentiles? Or had he exposed himself to this situation of allowing God to put this test upon him? Well, he didn't have any choice in that. How do you discern temptation? Well, it attempts to lead one away from faith. What's the right response? Jonah failed here. Resist. What is God saying here? The flesh is weak. You know, our flesh is weak. And if we sit and break bread on Lord's Day morning, it says, let a man examine himself. And can we think back in the week of the areas that men and women have failed the Lord? Our flesh is weak. We need to have self-reflection. It needs to go deep down inside of us. Because if we fail that test, then we're failing our ability to grow in the Lord. So God's saying the flesh is weak. And what does he say about weakness? His strength. We're made strong in our weakness. So what do we do when we're tempted? We resist and we run back to Jesus. Jonah failed in that. He ran away the other way. How does temptation end? It ends with sin or victory. Well, initially, it ended in sin with Jonah, but later there was victory, wasn't there? So now we come to the nitty-gritty. If we fail these two tests, then follows discipline. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. We also see that in Job 5:17 and Proverbs 3:11-12. Discipline comes from the Lord. It's a result of disobedience. How do you discern it? It fits the crime. The discipline fits the crime. So here's Jonah, and he disobeys God in a tremendously important mission to go and preach to the Ninevites that they might repent and live. So what is our challenge? When has the Lord spoken to us to ask us to do something? And have we taken the torch and gone on with it? You know, life is hard, isn't it? Because we can sit here and we can nod and say, yeah, this is great. But as soon as we go through those doors and start walking the streets, driving the cars, meeting people, that's when things get tough. But if we disobey God in those little things, the little foxes ruin the grapes, the little sins that nibble away at us, eventually grow and become big. And even the littlest thing is the disobedience to God. And he's going to discipline us accordingly. The discipline fits the crime. For Jonah, it was being thrown overboard and being swallowed by a fish and went through a horrible, horrible experience. What's the right response? To repent. God is doing it because he loves us and he drives us to repent. How long will God strive with us if we fail to repent? And one of the problems is we get to that position and we feel somewhat depressed and down and angry and anxious, and we don't know what to do. We either repent or we make light of it. And we go off and do something that will distract us. We'll be driven to the world. God is saying, no, in this discipline, that we are sons and daughters of his. Because he disciplines us, because he cares for us. And what does it end with? What is the tremendous hope that this ends with? It's fear, a healthy fear of God that we don't talk about too much anymore, that we need to have a healthy fear of God. And it ends in holiness. As our lives become closer to Jesus and our lives become more pure. Yes, his blood covers us. It has taken away our sin, totally. So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. But while we are living here in the flesh, we need to strive to live more holy because he is holy. The story of Jonah is interesting, isn't it? I mean, we I went on a camping trip several years ago with young people, and we had each of them take a portion of Jonah and speak to us about it. But we could speak many more weeks on Jonah, just on Jonah. And it's a tremendous passage because it speaks of Jesus, and it is a type of Jesus. It's a wonderful passage, and I trust that it will bless us and make us to think the direction we're headed in the coming days. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. The truth that is found in it is amazing. And we just thank you for that. We just pray, God, that you would help us to apply what we've heard tonight, myself especially, Father, to the things that you would have us listen to. And Father, help us to be people better able to serve you as we grow closer to Jesus. Let us be living bodies, living sacrifices to you. Help us, Father, to direct us to those people who need to hear the gospel this coming week. And give us a boldness, Father, to speak out, and yet with sensitivity and love and compassion as only Jesus could do. Help us, Father, to embrace your truths, your trials that you have sent toward us, Father. Help us to be able to work through the temptations that befall us. And help us to have a right response to the discipline that you have given us, Father. We thank you for Jonah's life. And we thank you for what he is able to show us through his word tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.